If you're thirsty for big business ideas and lessons learned from people who have started up or started over, you've come to the right place. We've got shots of inspiration mixed with a few ounces of advice, delivered straight up by movers and shakers in Saskatoon's business community. So pull up a chair. This round's on us. Welcome to Chamber on Tap.
Hello, Trina.
Hello, T-Bone.
Hey, look at that.
So good to see you again.
Nice to see you. You've prepared a lovely room for the party.
Yes,
You've got a nice spread. You've got everybody dressed up, and you've arranged the furniture very nicely.
Yeah,
so,
you know.
Well done.
Welcome to Chamber on Tap. That's what we do.
That's right. What are we doing here today? Who are we talking to?
Well,
who are we going to listen to?
Nadine's going to be talking to Darren Anderson.
Oh.
From Anderson Marketing Group and the Love My Mind initiative.
He must be busy.
So
like he's
busy.
Running two things at the same time.
Yep, busy, busy guy. So we're lucky to have him, and let's have some fun.
Let's do this thing. Take it away, Nadine.
If any of you grew up in Saskatoon or spent any time here and potentially are in our demographic, you might remember the little pub called The Pat, the Patricia Hotel. Yes? Getting some familiar waves there, so... That's, you know, the first time that you and I would have crossed paths quite a few years ago. And in fact, you gave me one of my first jobs, so thank you.
You're welcome. I knew that I wasn't going to work at the Pat forever, even though it seemed like a very long time. I started taking night classes at the university, working towards my commerce degree, and I actually started talking to a lot of businesses in Saskatoon about possible roadblocks on starting up a business, business growth, business development, rebranding. And I saw that there was an opportunity in an unfortunate way is that a lot of small businesses couldn't afford the larger firms to get their business where it needed to be. So I saw a gap in the system. So what I did is I went out and that's when I started to build my agency and I started to hire web designers, salespeople, content writers, and graphic designers. And before I knew it, I went from like consulting to I had 35 clients and I had 7 or 8 staff. Yeah, like it was looking back, it was actually pretty amazing because it went from 0 to 35 to now we manage across Western Canada and the States like over 200 clients. And then we have tech partnership with Vendasta, which we've had for 9 years now. It's pretty cool though, because being a traditional marketing consultant and then thrusted into the digital world, I had a big decision to make or else I would just become a dinosaur. And don't laugh, Leon. So
Leon's taken a back seat over there, just as you pointed him out.
So I had to make a decision that I had to learn the digital world. Which was like going back to school, but it was actually much worse because there was so many digital platforms available, and my job as a consultant to my clients was to simplify the process. So I couldn't inundate them with a bunch of platforms that might make their business grow and achieve their ideal results and objectives. I had to do my homework and then go to the table properly and advise my clients on the digital space and the traditional space.
From a business perspective, as a marketing advisor, what advice would you give to new businesses starting up that are facing those challenges that you mentioned earlier?
Well, first of all, don't open up a restaurant or a pub.
Why not? Everybody needs them.
Still to this day, I get text messages and phone calls about farmers that now want to come to Saskatoon and open up a restaurant. I'm like, no, just keep farming. Keep doing what you're doing. I get it, farm to table, like it makes sense, but in this case it didn't. Again, based on your business model and what industry you're going to open up in, everyone gets excited. Do your due diligence, be patient, cross the T's, dot the I's, and ask for help. The biggest thing that I've seen in the last 20 some years is that a lot of new business owners get a little too anxious and they miss steps. And those steps are very tough to go back and correct when you're already into it. And then it starts affecting your capital, like how much money did you have to start with and how much money do you have to really to play with and put into marketing. And with that said, marketing has always been looked at differently when it comes to professional services in the business world versus accounting and legal services. Yeah, the entrepreneurial side of business is actually amazing. Like it's for certain people. Like not everyone has what it takes, and they're meant to be on their own path. Like it's not taking away from anyone at all, but it's like you have to be like that passionate, driven person, full-on commitment. Time management is huge to allow for that flexibility, because that's a thing that people think about with entrepreneurial people is that they have a lot of time. But again, you don't want to inundate yourself and overload yourself either, because now quantity is taking over for quality. So that just comes back to having conversations. Like before we get into the next part is that the connection or having connections or creating connections and having conversations in any regard is so important in day-to-day life, but in business, it is like essential for the right things to happen for your business.
Absolutely. Well, clearly we can see you laid out a successful path for yourself in business through networking and through relationship building. And just by having a conversation with you now, I can see how people gravitate to you, that you're at ease with conversation. And, you know, when you have the education and the smarts to back you, I can see how you built a successful business. So we always do like to talk about success on our entrepreneurial journeys, but equally important is to talk about the challenges. And let's talk about some of the challenges that you've faced along the way. And maybe that leads to where we're focusing on now with Love My Mind.
Yeah, so in 2015, actually before that, but my dad developed Alzheimer's. And so we had to, again, we didn't really understand what it was about, so we had to learn about that. And Mom and Dad used to spend their winters down in Arizona, like most retired Saskatchewan people. And I remember that one winter when they came home, and we noticed a huge difference with Dad and that, and we went to Mom, and she was very confused by it, so we took it upon ourselves to look into this. And
is
I guess
your siblings, like
yeah, like me and my sister Sherry, the middle child, and my brother Mark, the oldest. We wanted to know what was going on, and it's interesting looking back. Like back in the day, it was basically just losing your mind, but now there was terminology behind it. There was science behind it. Worst disease ever, because eventually they're gone, but they're still with you. And it was really, Mom was 24/7, and these two were best friends, like most people married in that day and age, and they were like 55 years together. She would not give him up. He forgot who my sister was, so obviously that was tough. And my brother couldn't accept the fact that this was happening to his father, where I had kind of a calming influence on my dad. Like we would do puzzles, and it was funny. He would tell me about how him and Gordie Howe used to lifeguard at the breakwater at Waskasoo, and how Gordie broke the diving board diving off the high board, and how he used to hit the first green in one with a 3-iron, and how they used to sneak in the Taylor Field through the fence. And
sometimes we see someone struggling overtly and we can understand how that end happened, but sometimes we don't see that person is suffering and it becomes a shock. You think, well, this person has everything going for them. Like why on earth, we didn't realize they were suffering. So when you say that statistically it's men, that's alarming. And why do you think that is?
It's the male stigma. It's like, it's how you're brought up. And I don't know if that'll be a generational play that will correct itself, but it's men are deemed or positioned to be strong, to show less emotion, to have less conversations, to be less vulnerable. If I didn't do what I did and become more vulnerable, I don't know what would have happened based on the circumstance. But I knew from in the last 4 years that women are more susceptible to have these tough conversations. Most of the women in the counseling field, or most people in the counseling field were women. Now we're seeing more men. So not to be like total doldrums here, there is a lot of amazing things that are happening. We have some projects that are coming up in the next year to 18 months. We have Cameco with their grant program. We get the Riders with their grant program. Like, things are happening in a great way. So we continue to move forward. We continue to sell our swag, and we raise money. And we're not a charity. We're like a nonprofit. So the people that have donated money to us, like, it's just mind-boggling. And half of them don't even want recognition. So we created the We Connect online support series for people that couldn't get out because of COVID, and we brought in our partners that we created, and we offered free support online for like an entire year. And they were big, like, financial supporters of that.
Well, that's amazing, because obviously we want to see that there is hope, that there's a light at the end of this sort of dark tunnel. And what should we do to support people who we think may be struggling? Where do we point them?
Well, that's the thing about, like, I think mental health, and it's better now than before, is that it wasn't a place that you could just turn and go to Google and search and find, like, you look at other charities and organizations like the Cancer Society, Heart and Stroke, Alzheimer's, and that. Mental health is a little bit of a different entity, and it wasn't as easy as one would think. And I'll give you an example. A year ago, November of 2021, we would get, Love My Mind would get 3 to 4 people a month reaching out to us. And that was to collaborate and do great things, and but also support. Fast forward a year, so over the last 4 months, we get 10 to 12 a week. So we've created a brand that people trust and have comfort. So when people contact us, we listen to their story because they want to tell it. And they really don't care who they tell it to. Then what I do is I look, I feel out the situation, and then I redirect. So we have over 50, probably over 60 professional partners now. And then I let the person contacting us, and usually it's a mom. Like, 9 times out of 10, it's a mom. And we give them, here's the 3 people you need to contact. They know your call's coming, and they're willing to help. And if you have financial issues in this and you're not covered by benefits, we will help you. And that's where a lot of money of Love My Mind has gone. But we also have a conversation with the mom about who's taking care of you. And that's the accountability side, is now in our communities, we actually have to be accountable for ourselves, but we got to almost be accountable for each other and reach out to that friend and have a tough conversation. Whether they're doing fine or not, we need to connect and have these conversations with people, plain and simple.
So you're spending a lot of time on Love My Mind. Has this sort of become your focus, and where do you want to see this going, and how can we help and become involved?
Well, for many years, I was known as the Pat guy. Then I was like the golf guy. Then I was the marketing guy. Now I'm the mental health guy. And I'm like, and I actually had a tough time with that for like a couple years ago. And I'm like, I'm not a professional. I'm not that person. But then again, through Krista, my partner, and my friends and my people, it's like, but this is what you do. You connect people, and you've been connecting people for 30 years in your community. Use the business side to build this brand. And we have those hoodies and those bracelets. Honestly, they go out all over the world. It is amazing because they have words that resonate with people. So if you think about a bracelet that has the word courage on it, and every morning you can look at your bracelet, and that gives you inspiration to get through your day or start your day, however it may look like. And now more amazing people and organizations have developed and grown and come into play, and now they're reaching out to us. So really, my role has become much easier because it's just having conversations. So sure, do I have to restructure my day? And on the flip side, our marketing company's really never been busier than, we've never been this busy. We did take my brother's company and rebrand it. So it's called Market Promotional. And we moved it under the AMG umbrella. And we do a lot of collaboration with businesses locally. So there's a lot of Love My Mind brands going on apparel with major companies, small business. So on the Market Promotional side, when it comes to all our sales, a portion of our sales goes back to Love My Mind, because it's Mark's company. And honestly, it makes my mom happy, really.
Well, and it still brings me back to the fact that you're doing all of this to help people. And by helping people, you must be helping yourself to feel better. So through all of this, how are you doing? And how have you managed to get through this grief?
I would say I'm fine, but that's the worst word I could use. But do you know what? I have such a great support crew. But the one big thing that I do is I have conversations constantly. And I do open up. And do you know what? I could be on the treadmill watching sports and the Bruins come on, who I absolutely hate, but that was my brother's team. And that is a trigger. And I'll break down and I will have to, like, I get off the treadmill, I sit there and I cry. And I think about my brother. I don't think about it in a negative way. It's a memory. But I think we have to do that. We have to let ourselves be vulnerable. And like I heard a quote the other day, needing someone is strength, reaching out is accountability. So you think about that a couple times, and it actually makes sense, is that it's tough to reach out. It's tough to reach out from a business and say, hey, Darren, you're a marketing company. I need your help because my business isn't doing that well. But when you think about it, it's the best move you can make, because now you're bringing in someone that can help you continue to grow your business. You can focus on the key things, and we can help you on the things that you don't have time for but are important to your business. It's the same thing as a person.
Well, encouraging people to talk and communicate is important. And you mentioned just at the beginning that you were doing a outreach with some youth. So again, I'm the mother of a son who sometimes I get one word answer, like, how was your day? It was good. And it's like, there's more going on behind that. So how would, is there effort and value in sort of retraining the youngsters, young men, for example, to not fall into the traps that maybe this generation has in terms of keeping things in?
Absolutely. And I think that's happening. And I think a lot of these organizations that are focused on youth, and that's one of our focus, where we've created some strong relationships, partnerships with the Contacts, AAA Hockey, the Girls, AAA Stars, the Saskatoon Blades. And that has to do with my stepson, Zach, who's playing both, and he's a good little hockey player in that. But here's a kid that's 16, and the conversations that we have are absolutely amazing. And I think back to my conversations at 16 were not that amazing. They were horrible. I was a bad kid. So I think great things are happening in that regard. But again, just because your child checks all the positive boxes, that's like look at some of the people we've lost. And the one that always resonates with me is that guy, Twitch, from The Ellen Show. This guy, on the outside looking in, was perfection. Great family, loved his family, loved his wife, loves his kids, had a great job. Everything was going, but was it what he wanted? Was it what he needed in his life to fulfill his life? Like, he got to think about the other side of the equal sign. Is like, what's he going through though? Perception's one thing, but what's happening on the mental health side when that just starts making decisions for you and consumes your life? So we do have to be accountable though. So it's a slippery slope, and by no means am I like a professional in this, but I've taken the courses and I've educated myself. So I now understand, Nadine, that I get what happened with my brother, and I accept it. And I find it now actually, in a way, as a blessing, because this is the voice through Love My Mind that he could never use, but I know he wanted to, and that's the way I position it. This is my brother's voice because he always wanted to help people. And so it's a legacy move as much as a mental health initiative.
thank you on behalf of all of us and the Chamber for bringing this very important topic to the forefront. And I hope it does encourage all of us as business owners and friends and family to not steer away from those conversations. Please join me in a round of applause.
This has been a distilled version of Chamber on Tap, a live event hosted monthly by the Greater Saskatoon Chamber of Commerce. Check out upcoming dates and speakers at saskatoonchamber.com or follow the Chamber on Twitter, Facebook, LinkedIn, and Instagram using the handle @thechamberyxe.
Produced at Sound Lounge by T-Bone.